Welkom bij de 16e podcast van Christen voor Israël. En het is vandaag een hele bijzondere podcast, want we gaan het hebben over Zuid-Israël. En afgelopen maand is dat in het nieuws geweest. Er zijn vanuit de Gazastrook maar liefst 700 raketten in een tijdsbestek van 48 uur op Zuid-Israël afgeschoten. En ja, dat heeft natuurlijk zijn impact op het land en met name op die regio op Sederot. Straks gaan we spreken met de burgemeester Alon Davidi, de burgemeester van Sederot. Maar nu staat hier naast mij Timo Niemeyer. En Timo, leuk dat je er bent trouwens. Jij hebt een heel bijzonder verhaal van jouw schoonzoon. Kan je daar eens wat over vertellen?
Ja, dat klopt. Mijn schoonzoon is Nati. En Nati is een Israëlische jongen uit Beersheba. En het was 8 jaar geleden. Hij was toen net uit militaire dienst. Dat hij het weekend naar huis ging. En Beersheba is zo 40 kilometer van de Gaza-strook af. Mm-hmm. En terwijl hij dacht een fijn weekend te gaan vieren, ging het luchtalarm af. En hij was met zijn buurjongen net buiten en ze probeerden naar huis te rennen. Maar helaas was het te laat, want een raket viel dus neer vlak waar hij rende. En dat heeft hem voor het leven getekend. Hij mist één been en zijn andere been is ook behoorlijk beschadigd. Mm-hmm. Maar ik heb wel heel veel bewondering voor hem, want hij is altijd positief. Ja. Hij zit niet vol met rancune. Nee. Hij kijkt vooruit. En we hebben afgelopen zondag zijn verjaardag gevierd en hij woont nu in Nederland.
Maar wat een heftig verhaal zeg. Hij is gewoon voor het leven getekend door die raketten vanuit Gaza. Hoe gaat hij daar eigenlijk mee om?
Ja, wij hebben heel veel bewondering voor hem. Hij heeft in het revalidatiecentrum, terwijl hij daar lag als een 23-jarige jongen, zijn bachelor gehaald. Hij wilde echt vooruit. Ja. En hij komt over altijd als optimist, positief. Ja. Maar wat je wel ziet is, nou ja, zondag hebben we zijn verjaardag gevierd en dan hoor je hem even praten. En er was nog een andere Israëlisch stel bij. En dan hoor ik hem zeggen van, joh, hou in de gaten, morgen 12 uur, sirenes in Nederland. En dan denk je, waarom zegt hij dat? Maar voor hem is dat natuurlijk zo shocking. Ja. Dat je gewoon opeens weer sirenes hoort. Dus zijn vrienden waren ook heel blij dat hij hun gewaarschuwd had. Want voor hun is dat gewoon de realiteit. En dat kunnen wij ons in Nederland helemaal niet voorstellen.
Nu, Family 7, dat is christelijke tv-zender in Nederland, die besteedt aan dit onderwerp aandacht. En deze maand in juni zenden ze 4 documentaires uit over het werk van Beit Halochem.
Klopt.
En afgelopen zaterdag was de uitzending waarin Nati, jouw schoonzoon, werd geïnterviewd. Maar wat doet Beit Halochem precies?
Ja, Beit Halochem helpt slachtoffers weer hun plek in de maatschappij te vinden. Ze betrekken daarbij, en dat is wel bijzonder, ook de hele familie eromheen. En ze proberen echt mensen op hun mogelijkheden te wijzen, wat ze kunnen. En ze gaan daarmee een heel langdurig traject aan. Dus voor bijvoorbeeld onze schoonzoon is daar jaren geweest. Hij woont nu in Nederland, maar ze volgen hem nog steeds. En ze moedigen hem aan om dingen te ondernemen. Ja. Dus we proberen nu ook voor Bethlehem Nederland iets voor elkaar te
Maar het is best mooi dat Family 7 er aandacht aan besteedt, hè?
Ja, vind ik onwijs gaaf, hoor. Ja. Het is natuurlijk ook gewoon gaaf dat een christelijke omroep zoiets doet. Ja. In het verleden hebben we best wel eens de plank misgeslagen. Met name vanuit het christendom. En het is gewoon gaaf dat zo'n club gewoon zegt van, oké, hun God is onze God, hun volk is ons volk en we zijn samen één. Hè?
Ja. Het maakt je wel blij, hè, volgens mij.
Ik ben er echt heel blij mee, ja.
En die uitzendingen die zijn altijd op zaterdagavond om?
Ja, zaterdag om 8:30 in de maand juni en in juli de herhaling. Dus mocht u hem gemist hebben, dan kunt u weer kijken in juli. De eerste zaterdag, dan komt hij weer.
Nou, dus allemaal zaterdag 8:30 kijken naar Family 7. En dan, dan zien mensen een mooie documentaire over het werk van Beit Halochem, die dus slachtoffers van terreur helpen om weer een plekje in de maatschappij te veroveren. Ja. Dankjewel, Timo.
Graag gedaan.
Ongeveer een maandje geleden hebben wij een e-mail gestuurd naar onze achterban, naar alle mensen die Christenen voor Israël steunen. Want misschien kan je nog herinneren dat begin mei, in het eerste weekend van mei, toen was het heel erg onrustig in de Gazastrook. Toen zijn er in een periode van 48 uur maar liefst 700 raketten vanuit de Gaza afgevuurd op Israël. Er zijn ook een aantal doden bijgevallen, een heleboel gewonden bijgevallen. En we hebben toen een e-mail gestuurd om mensen op te roepen om te helpen om de bewoners van Israël te bemoedigen en ze te helpen met het herstel van de beschadigde huizen en met ook steun voor de inwoners. En we werden een beetje stil van, want toen we die mail hebben gestuurd, toen kwamen er zoveel reacties binnen. Lieve reacties van mensen die heel betrokken zijn, die meebidden, die ook het project hebben meegesteund. En ik wil jullie graag updaten over de stand van zaken nu, want we hebben in totaal een bedrag van 100.000 euro binnengehaald voor dit prachtige project. En dat gaat besteed worden aan de reparatie van de flats die beschadigd zijn door de raketten. Het wordt ook besteed aan de families die direct getroffen zijn, waar gewonden zijn gevallen of doden zijn gevallen. En het wordt besteed aan verschillende projecten die bezig zijn met jongeren en kinderen die getraumatiseerd zijn door die eindeloze stroom aan raketten, om die jongeren en kinderen te helpen om daarmee te leren omgaan. Dus we willen jullie graag als Christen voor Israël heel hartelijk bedanken voor jullie steun voor de inwoners van Zuid-Israël. Ik had het al aangekondigd, het interview met de burgemeester van Sderot, de stad op een paar kilometer afstand van de Gazastrook. Dus luister graag even mee naar deze reportage. Wat je nu hoort is in Nederland vrij onbekend, maar in Israël en met name in Zuid-Israël is dit wat ze al duizenden keren gehoord hebben. Het alarm gaat af, het Tseva Adom, dat betekent code rood. En dat betekent voor de inwoners van Sderot dat ze 10 seconden hebben, nog geen 10 seconden, om een veilige schuilplaats te zoeken. En dat gebeurt niet 1 keer, dat gebeurt niet 10 keer, maar dat gebeurt duizenden keren de afgelopen jaren. En ik heb een gesprek met Alon Davidi, de burgemeester van Sderot. En ik vraag hem hoe het is om in zo'n situatie, zo'n oorlogssituatie, burgemeester te zijn van een grote stad. Can you explain me what it is to be the mayor of a city that is under constant threat of the rockets of Gaza?
To be a mayor of Sderot, it's like you have two jobs. One is to be normal, each one of the mayor all over the world, that you in charge about all the education system, the street, to build, to do whatever a mayor done every time. And for another side, I have another job. It's to be the moral of Israel. You know that Sderot is under attack from Gaza more than 18 years. And it's a very tough mission because you know that it's not happy to be in a place that you has a war every month, every 2 months. And so it's tough, but I am proud to be the mayor because it's very important, not just for the citizen of Sderot. Mm-hmm. We are actually the front line, the citizen of Sderot that stand there and say to the Hamas and say to the Jihad and all these organizations that control Gaza, you can send thousands of rockets to our town and you want to shut the light of Sderot and you want us to make and you want to make Sderot like a ghost town. But we will never give you the chance to do it. And because that it's so important, the support and the friendship that we get and I raise from all over the world and especially with the government.
But in order to live in Sderot, I don't live there. I have no idea how it should be. But you have to be a little bit crazy to go and live in this place, yes?
First, I think to live in Israel is to be crazy, because but Sderot is like a 95% of paradise, really a nice town.
Really? Yes, because that's not the image that we have here.
It depends when. If you come to Sderot in a normal time, mm-hmm. so you will see people living there. We have the market. We have a wonderful family, and we have people that come from all over the world, from Russia, from Bukhara, from Kafkaz, from Morocco, from Jewish that come from all of the Jewish community all over the world. And we have a very good system of education. The education system is very good, and we have a lot of festival, and we have parks and building and everything. But it depends. This is the 95% of paradise. But we have another 5%, and this is 5% of hell. It's very difficult, especially when rocket come to the town and when they send balloon and things like that to burn all the ground surrounds the rot. it's very tough to grow up children. I have 7 kids, so I know what's the means that you need to answer the very difficult question. Even though you decide to move to Sderot, but why you grow your children in the place that is a very it's a place that you are always in a dangerous. And we always ask this question, you know, and I think that the only answer that I can give to myself is that we, you know, the promised land and the states of Israel, we have just one country. And we know what's happened in the Holocaust 70 years ago, when and all the Jewish that live in Europe, and no one can protect them from the German, that from the Nazis. So I think that it's important to us to be there, to live there. And besides that, this is our city. This is we grow our children there, we work there.
Have you always lived in Sderot?
I'm moved to Sderot 23 years ago, and after I married with my wife Nurit, she is the teacher. And we're looking for a place that we will, after the army, I look into a place that I can live together, you know, with people and influence about their life.
Yeah. But still, I understand all the things you are explaining about the history and how now Israel is like a beacon for the Jewish people, yes, safe haven. But still going to live so close to the border, why would you do it? Why don't you live in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv or in Netanya where it's safe?
Because in the end, there is no safe place in Israel, because the Arab, and especially the organization, you know, the terrorist organization, Hamas, Jihad, ISIS, they really want to control Jerusalem. And I can give you an example. A few years ago, they sent one rocket, and they put the name of El-Quds. The El-Quds is the means that Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they put the name of Jerusalem on the rocket. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why they shoot rocket to Sderot, unless they put the name of Sderot on the rocket, you know. So why they put the name of Jerusalem? Mm-hmm. Because it's really no, it's not the, this battle and the rocket that they sent to Sderot, it's not because they really want to control Sderot. Uh-huh. They really want to get to Jerusalem.
So imagine
if me and my family will leave Sderot, and all the citizens of Sderot will live in the town. The next town will be Ashkelon, and the next town will be Ashdod, and the next town will be in Jerusalem. So
true, but still I think a lot of people will say, okay, in theory you're right, but this is not my family. I'm not going to put my family there.
Yes, it's because that I feel that I'm Zionist. Mm-hmm. I feel that me and my family live there, and we really think that we are ambassador not just about ourselves. We are an ambassador of you and all over the free world. And it's difficult. It's very difficult. Many times we don't have any good answer to our children, especially mm-hmm. with the children that suffer from the PTSD, from the post-trauma. Mm-hmm. But I love my city. Yeah. The city is a beautiful city.
Can you tell me what happens in your mind and in the mind of your children when you hear the alarm again?
Actually, when we come, me and my team, when we come to Holland, it was in Monday, and I hear that I hear the alarm system.
The first Monday of the month.
The first Monday of the month. So we jump. Why we jump? Because we know that every time we hear the alarm in Israel, we have just 10 seconds to run and to find a place that we can hide. So it's a very difficult. I can give you my personal example. I have 7 kids, and my youngest daughter, she is 7 years old. Her name is Emuna. In Emuna in Hebrew, it's faith. And Emuna suffer from the PTSD. And it's very tough because Emuna don't want to sleep alone. They always sleep with us. Mm-hmm. She is afraid to go outside from the house. She is afraid to go outside without the parents. And especially when the rockets coming back, like example, 1 month ago, they sent 700 rockets in 3 days. So it's very difficult because we wanted that Emuna will be happy, and we want that Emuna will be like a normal child, but it's very difficult to her, it's very difficult to us. We try to provide many programs, new programs that help to the children. Mm-hmm. to get a treatment with a therapist, and we not do it with the animals, we do it with the dog. The therapist teacher to take a responsible not about her life, take a responsible about the dog. So now what's happened in my house when the alarm system start to shouting, you know, the red collar. So Emuna ran, not to the shelter, she ran to the dog, take the dog and take the dog with her. So, it's, you know, for you, maybe it's crazy, but for us, it's a part of our life. And I know that maybe it's not a good answer to your question, but in the end, we don't have any option.
What would you say to the people? Because last month we informed the people, our donors, about what was going on, and there were some people who were criticizing us because we care so much for the people in Israel, in Sderot, for example, but children in Gaza have much worse situation. What would you say to those people?
First, I think that me and my family and my people in Sderot really don't hate the Arabs that live in Gaza. The simple people really need to build a future. But this is responsible about their regime, and they choose the Hamas to be a regime of Gaza. So I think that if someone wants to help to someone in Gaza, he need to get the money, especially for the family, because if they throw the money to the Hamas, to the end of the Hamas, he use it to buy a weapon, a new weapon, and use it to create their army. And you know, I'm a citizen of Israel. If you come to Gaza and come to some school, you will see in the wall inside the classroom, you will see a picture. A picture of people that became like a shahid. The meaning to be shahid is that they take a bomb, they take a bomb and go to some bus in Tel Aviv and blow in and kill 40 Jewish. And this is what they teach their children. If you come to Sderot, and I invite everyone, every person when that I meet, I call him and ask him. Come to Sderot. If you come to our school, you will see that we teach our children that we need to love everyone. It not depends if you are Jewish, if you are not Jewish, if you are Arab, if you are Israeli. We are just want to live like a normal people. We pray to the peace that will come. But you know, it's very tough with the regime there, because the regime in Gaza, it's very connected with Iran. With Iran and the Hezbollah and all these organizations that believe that they need to bring that to the area. So,
yeah. The people in Sderot, are there people who hate the Arabs for what they are doing to the Israelis?
Many times I need to work with my family to explain, you know, like Emunah, she is a child. So when she see that the Arab from Gaza send thousands of rockets just to kill her and to kill the family. So I need to explain to them the difference between, you know, the simple guy, the citizen that live in Gaza, the Arab, because we have Arab too in Sderot. We have Arab in Israel, you know. So I need to teach her that you must make a difference, you know, to know that most of the people are very good. And it's very tough, but because many times when we meet some Arab in Israel, so my Emunah, my daughter say, oh, I am so afraid that he do something bad to me. But after you teach her and after you learn her and you pray that to God that give us the power, because in the end, you cannot survive and you cannot stay in the road because weapon and because you know, we not shoot back to them. We not take a weapon and shoot to the Arab. But I think that the important thing is that we pray, and we pray to God, and we think that God protect us, and we think that God make, like He makes the miracle of Israel. So He makes the miracle that they wrote, even though we have all this rocket, we continue to growing up. I'm the mayor 6 years. And the last 6 years, the population growing up from 21,000 people to 28,000 people. And if you come to Sderot 2 years from now, it will be something like 40,000. So this is the right answer. In the end, this is the right answer. Yeah. Look, you try to send rocket, you try to destroy us, but we continue to build.
Yeah. Are you ever afraid?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Many times, because my job, I need to go outside on the street. Many times, me and my team go to some building that we hear that missile hit the building. So after a few minutes, you know, you help to the people, you come to the family, you help them to get outside from the house because all the windows were broken and all the shrimps of the missile is in the house, and you need to send them, many of them, to the hospital, many of them to the resilience center to look for the post trauma, and few minutes after, another missile come to the area. And I have a few times that I need to not have the time to run to the shelter to go to the bomb shelter. So you need to lay flat on the floor and cover your head. Mm-hmm. It's not a nice feeling. Yes.
Last question. There is going to be a special thing going on between the city of Sderot and Christians for Israel in December. Can you explain me a little bit?
Yes, I was surprised that when Pim, your chairman, come to Sderot, he explained to me that you build a Chanukia. The Chanukia that we make the light in Hanukkah, in our celebration every year. And he said that you create a statue like something like 12 meters.
Yes.
And you put it in a few places in Holland. And he said that you want to give us this present. Mm-hmm. And when Pim was in my city, we go around the city and we looking for a place, a very high place that maybe the Arab, the people that live in Gaza, and maybe especially the leadership there, when they look to Sderot, maybe they will, in Hanukkah, they will see the light of your Chanukiah. I think it's very important. First, because this is the right answer, that you can try to bring a dog to a place, but with your help, we make the light. And second, I think that is very important, because many times when I come to Europe, people that live in Europe many times look in the television and see many pictures, a bad picture about Israel. And they try to make a very bad opinion about Israel. And I think that when I met your board and when I speak in a few places, I find people that love Israel, and you can be our ambassador. About our message and our message to the world, especially the people that live in Europe, that you cannot continue to blame Israel. Mm-hmm. This is not about Israel. Israel want to live like anyone all over the world. And I'm sure that if someone will throw a missile on some building in Amsterdam, your government do whatever they can to protect you. And because that this is the issue. And if you want to push something, if you want to do something, go to the Hamas and say to them, enough. Leave your weapon, leave all your valium, leave all the hate, and try to build your future. Israel and our city and our government can be the first people that can help them to create a new future to the area.
Yeah.
And I want to say again, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And all the visit was very exciting.
Yeah.
And I wish for you and for the people of Israel peace. Mm-hmm. And we continue to develop the promised land, the States of Israel.
Yeah. Alon Davidi, thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you.
Het zit er weer op, de 16e aflevering van deze podcast van Christen voor Israël. Leuk dat je geluisterd hebt en graag tot de volgende keer.